A new report that came out this month and was commissioned by the Walton Family Foundation shows Northwest Arkansas's downtowns are growing, which comes with increased demand for residential and commercial development. The data also reaffirms the need for additional affordable housing options in both Benton and Washington counties. The University of Arkansas Faye Jones School of Architecture and Design is playing a role in brainstorming ways to meet that need as part of its Housing Northwest Arkansas initiative. The initiative is funded by a $250,000 grant from the Walton Foundation. Part of the project was an affordable housing symposium held this past weekend in Bentonville and Fayetteville. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek was there, and she has this report.
Let's start with what the housing market and transportation in Northwest Arkansas look like right now. Here's Stephen Luoni, the director of the University of Arkansas Community Design Center, and Sean Donovan, the former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development under President Obama.
Northwest Arkansas is the most unequal metro area in Arkansas. The top 1% make 33 times more than the bottom 99%. The national average is 25 times. So we're a third above that and rising.
Your average family spends about 26% of their income on housing. That's actually better than most places. But the average family in this region spends 29% of their income on transportation. Remarkable. More than 50% higher than the average in the United States.
We're growing at the rate of 12,000 people annually, which means we'll require 8,000 new units over the next 3 years, and we're only building 1,000 units. So we're radically undersupplied, even at the level of the market rate housing. In the rental market, we'll need close, over the next 3 years, in the rental market, we'll need close to 5,000 units. Currently, 1,500 are under construction.
So while Northwest Arkansas and the state in general still have a reputation for affordability, the statistics mentioned by speakers at the symposium point to real problems in the region. The income inequality skews the housing market in favor of upper middle and high earners, leaving large supply gaps in lower to middle class housing. And while the average Northwest Arkansas family spends less on housing, the amount it spends on transportation is 10% higher than the national average. Together, those two costs add up to more than half of a family's income. Finally, there's just not enough housing to go around. Here's Stephen Luoni again.
The vacancy rate in Northwest Arkansas for housing is 0.39%, and in downtowns currently it's effectively 0%. There's simply no supply available. A healthy vacancy rate for a region for a housing market is around 6-7%.
As many speakers noted, they weren't at the symposium to necessarily offer solutions, as what works in one community may not work in another. But they were there to offer ideas. And luckily, they said, Northwest Arkansas is still in a position to tackle its problems before they get out of hand. Here's Sean Donovan.
I've seen across this country, and in fact, across the world, that as cities flourish, there are downsides, that if you don't pay attention to them, they can actually undermine the very success that has led to the growth of your communities, of your cities, of your towns.
Donovan used California as a cautionary tale. A recent study showed the state lost about 3 points of its gross domestic product because it doesn't have the range of housing necessary for the range of workers critical to the economy of California's communities. In places like Silicon Valley, the average worker can't afford to live where they work. So, Donovan says, many commute as much as 2 hours one way.
The fundamental job of a successful region that cares about an issue like this is to figure out how to leverage the very success that is creating pressure in order to create the resources for affordable housing.
Symposium speakers agreed creating and keeping affordable housing means ramping up construction in creative ways that involve partnerships with local governments, nonprofits, foundations, and businesses. Lisa Sturtevant is a consultant and a senior fellow with the Urban Land Institute.
One of the biggest challenges to ensuring that there's housing affordable to people of modest incomes is that the gap, right, between the cost of building housing and the revenue generated by providing that housing at lower rents or prices often is difficult to meet.
Sturtevant gave several examples of how partnerships can overcome that challenge. One was in Arlington County, Virginia, where county leaders wanted to redevelop a community center.
They saw the potential to do something more than just rebuild the community center. They said, what if we increase the density? What if we change the zoning? What if we found a partner? And then we could build housing as part of the entire redevelopment effort.
So Sturtevant says they entered into a partnership with a nonprofit developer. The county provided the land for significantly below market rate, and the nonprofit was able to build more than 120 units for low-income families, including 13 units of permanent supportive housing for those transitioning out of homelessness. Another partnership Sturtevant highlighted is in Fairfax, Virginia. It involved the local economic development authority, George Mason University, and the state.
George Mason was increasingly having trouble attracting faculty and staff and even graduate students to its campus because of the high cost of housing in the Northern Virginia suburbs.
But Sturtevant says the university had access to land, so they decided to build rental housing on campus. Enter Masonvale, which has more than 150 units. Sturtevant also talked about inclusionary zoning, like the mandatory policy in Montgomery County, Maryland, that's been in place since the 70s. Every new housing development in that area has to provide a percentage of units that are affordable to households earning between 60 and 80% of the area median income.
And these types of policies are very attractive to communities where, like Northwest Arkansas, where there's a run-up in home prices and there's a real concern about folks of more modest incomes having the availability to access that new housing.
That kind of policy, though, would have to be codified in a local zoning ordinance. The common thread through all of Sturtevant's examples was the affordability of land, something Garner Stoll, the director of development services for the city of Fayetteville, also talked about. Stoll moved to the area last year from Austin, where he was the assistant director of neighborhood planning and zoning. Austin, he says, is a city where housing and transportation costs have regularly exceeded incomes. Stoll, too, had recommendations for our region.
I think make public land available for housing is number one. You can do it with a great deal of precision. You can do it with a great deal of fairness. And you can make the attainable housing long range. The affordability can be many, many years.
Stoll says public land could mean vacant surface parking lots in old school buildings and airports, but it could also mean redeveloping fire stations or libraries to include housing. But he adds part of turning that creativity into reality will mean working on regulatory reform.
And if it's not being built, we need to ask the question, why isn't it being built, and propose alternatives and be bold.
Stoll also suggested raising public funding, an idea that was also brought up by Sean Donovan, who says some communities, like New York City, set aside a portion of their property taxes.
We had a surcharge, essentially, on property taxes, or a piece of the existing property tax that was dedicated to affordable housing.
Several speakers also brought up the need for smaller housing projects, the so-called missing middle housing. Here's Stephen Luoni with the U of A Community Design Center.
This is a class of architecture, a class of multifamily walk-up housing types that we're all familiar with, townhouses, courtyard housing, bungalow houses, mansion apartment, duplexes, fourplexes.
Luoni says the problem is developers haven't built that kind of housing since the 1940s because of obstacles posed by city regulations and financing, which is how many regions ended up with either single-family home developments or large-scale apartment complexes. And as John Anderson, who is an architect and co-founder of the Incremental Development Alliance, pointed out, those missing middle projects will have to be taken up by local developers because major developers likely won't be interested in them.
So when we say incremental development, what are we talking about? That's anything from the pop-up tent selling the tamales that you and your abuela made to the little rehab one-story building, two-story, maybe three, probably no elevator. Often rehab. These are often the missing teeth.
Anderson says incremental development is also what ends up creating wealth in a community. Tied into these conversations about housing, there were also conversations about transportation. To recap, stats show Northwest Arkansans are spending more of their incomes on transportation than on housing. And as the economy shifts from one based on industry to one based on information, former HUD Secretary Sean Donovan says we're also reaching the bounds of the automobile geography.
We're really beginning to reach the limits of that. And in many places, frankly, we've gone well beyond those limits.
Just like finding ways to tackle housing issues, Donovan says cities are getting creative and moving away from looking at public transportation in the form of buses and trains.
We've got cities experimenting across the country with micro transit. The very same technology that has made Uber and Lyft, you know, incredibly valuable companies, allows us to rethink transit in the way that we've traditionally thought about it. I would encourage you to really get creative and look around the country and even around the world at some of the more interesting sort of new forms of transit that are coming together.
And while Donovan could give examples of communities that are not doing so well on the housing and transportation front, it was hard for him to find an example of a place that's doing everything right.
To be frank, I've never seen the perfect community. there's no one city I would say, now that's the place you got to go and look at.
Northwest Arkansas may or may not become that place, but at least we have a lot of ideas to work with. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Susanna Sitek.
Other players in this conversation are University of Arkansas students studying at the Faye Jones School of Architecture and Design. The grant from the Walton Family Foundation also funds a studio course focusing on affordable housing. There are 25 students, and they've been at it for the last 3 weeks. Jeannie Blair Luft is one of them. She's in her fourth and final year of studying interior design.
This is not what I thought I'd be doing at all. When people think of interior design, they think of you're picking out colors and pillows and stuff like that. That is not what we do at all here. It's more on like how you can modulate light and how you can bring the closest proximity to things and how you can really change how people act and live and breathe in a space.
Right now, the students are working in groups on four theoretical sites in Bentonville. Blair Luft is designing her project on a piece of land off Southeast 3rd Street that's right on the Razorback Greenway and near downtown. Other sites are near Crystal Bridges, the future site of the Thaden School, and the future site of the Momentary. Blair Luft says part of the project involves understanding what makes Bentonville the way it is.
One thing that surprised me is that for Walmart, the Silicon Valley is where all their tech people are, and that there's like a direct flight from San Francisco to Bentonville, which is we're going to be going to San Francisco to look at the housing types. But just the impact that sort of these companies can have on a town and a city and the people that live there, and especially how it connects to the rest of the world.
Blair Luft says she's working with two architecture students on her affordable housing design. And while they're just getting to the design phase, Blair Luft spoke a bit about how she envisions the space.
Obviously, lots of light, lots of windows. We're on a beautiful site that's surrounded by trees, and we have a park right next to us, and then we're two blocks away from the downtown square. So having some visual connection between those, whether it's in the light or the openness or even the way that how many people you can fit in one space and the way that how people live there directly translates to what's located around them.
The third portion of the Housing Northwest Arkansas Initiative is a competition. In March, the Faye Jones School will request bids for architecture firms to design a mixed-use, attainable housing development in Bentonville.